writing to the evilest now, as to say this loud and clear. Every power assigned to derail my destiny, scatter in the name of Jesus. If the assignment is to derail my destiny, in Jesus' name we pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for such a wonderful time like this. And we praise the holy name for bringing us here. We thank you for the end of the 70 days prayer and fasting program. And we bless your holy name for your glorious and for your glorious power. To you alone be all the glory, all the honor, and all the adoration. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. This morning, lay your hands upon us. Anoint us by your mighty power. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now, right there where you are, you begin to express personal appreciation to the Lord. What he has done for you during this 70 days prayer and fasting program, and for his hand upon your life. Praise him for his excellent power. For his hand which cannot be shorten by the powers of darkness. For his power which is the absolute power. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your holy name. Glory be to your holy name. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Are we there? They're looking for it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. We read a lamentation by Apostle Paul. For Demas hath forsaken me, he said, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Verse 10 again. For Demas had forsaken me, said, having loved this present world. For a few minutes, let me share with you what I call the battle against the world. The battle against the world. And after this message, we take our thanksgiving offering. Then please don't leave this gathering until we have done the prayers for our nation. Then we can go. The battle against the world. Now, when you become a Christian, even if you are not a Christian, there are always four battles you need to fight. Whether you like it or not, or you believe it or not, it's not relevant. All of us have to battle these four forces. The first battle you need to fight is the battle against sin. Because sin is a destroyer. And if there is anything that has escorted man to where man is now, it is sin. But if there is no sin, Jesus had no reason coming to this world. If there is no sin, there will be no need for this Bible you have in your hands. If there is no sin, there will be no salvation. So the first battle you need to fight is battle against sin. Now God hates sin with perfect hatred. God loves the sinner, but not the sin. Sin nailed his son to the cross. So the problem of sin is what runs throughout the whole Bible. The greatest problem of man now is that men are living in sin. And sin is a destroyer. That's the first battle. If you don't overcome that first battle, you go to hellfire. The second battle you need to fight is the battle against the enemy, the devil and his hosts. They are out to destroy. And they have been destroying successfully since the beginning of ages. If you say, I don't believe they exist, don't worry, but they're there. They're there. Some of these things that we tell people, some people don't believe. Don't believe all these things. There was a man. He used to come for our services here. He doesn't like mountain of fire. Doesn't like coming to the services. But because he had a very troublesome wife, that one would drag him here by force. And because he wanted peace in the home, so he would follow the madam here. This man has about 4 degrees in gynecology. He studied in Canada. So he's very, very bright, very, very intelligent. So he comes with his wife. Here in this headquarters, he will sit beside the wife. Anytime the Jew was preaching, and the Jew says, I saw this, I saw that. The man will say, here we go again. Here we go again. The Jew has started with his fabu. Here we go again. That's what he was normally saying. One day, he was in his clinic, and this pregnant woman moved in. And she said she had 8.5 months pregnancy. And he asked the man to abort it. The man said, no, you must be crazy. How can I abort 8.5 months pregnancy? It's not possible. He said, okay, woman, you know what we're going to do? If your problem is money, I will give you money to look after the child, but don't abort it. The woman said, abort it. The man said, no. Okay. The woman said, okay, since you refuse to abort it, can you examine the baby for me? He said, okay, I'll do that. So you lie on this bed. He examined the woman. I said, well, the baby is well positioned, no problem. So this woman came down from the hospital bed. I said, okay, doctor, bye-bye. But when she now got to the door, his door, the woman looked back at him. I said, doctor, I just want to tell you that I'm going back to my house in the water and I'm going to report you there. The man laughed. In Canada, where I studied, where the white man is very intelligent, they can't build outside the water. So you see, you Nigerians, I will go and build outside the water. Get out! The woman shut the door and left. Immediately, the doctor became paralyzed. Both hands could not move. Both legs could not move. He could not leave his seat. But it was after hours that the nurses who didn't see him again went and said, doctor, stand up. He couldn't walk. He couldn't move his hands. By the time his wife brought him, she brought him in a wheelchair. God touched him. God healed him. Now, so I now ask him a question. I said, well, will you believe what the Jew is saying now? I said, I used to think they were fabu, sir. I said, sir, doctor, let me tell you the truth. I also wish that all those things I was saying, they were fabu. I wish it was a fabu that said that is witch. There is no witch, there is no wizard, that is all stories. I would have been happier if it was so. But today now, anytime Joe is talking, in fact, the only thing he doesn't write down is my breathing in and out. He now knew that there is reality. That there is evil in this world. There is good, there is at the same time the opposite side called evil. This may be difficult for you to know. Some people are very happy anytime they see bloodshed. They get excited when they see human blood flowing. It's evil, evil. It's evil in the world. So we need to battle. That's the second battle we need to do. A battle against the enemy. There are many people here who listen to me this morning. If not for household wickedness, you will not be in the position you are now. You will have gone 25 steps higher. Close your eyes and raise up your right hand to the heavens. God, power of household witchcraft. Assigned to limit my progress. Your time is up. Time. In the name of Jesus. Deal with those powers. Marebo Sepokotaya Bashanta. In Jesus' name we pray. There is evil in this world, beloved. There is a power of the enemy. Power of the enemy. I know a woman, the day she got married, her mother-in-law came to her and gave her a piece of bread. And she said, eat this bread and block your womb. And for some strange reasons, she ate it. That's evil in the world. The third battle you need to fight is the battle against the flesh. The greatest internal enemy we have is the flesh. That's why the Bible says, I put my body under. I bring it under subjection. Lest at any time, after I've preached unto others, I myself will be a castaway. The flesh is a rebel within us. The flesh is what engineers lost. The flesh is what craves for what we destroyed. Now the fourth battle you need to fight is the battle against the world. What do we mean by the world? We're talking about the world structure which is in direct opposition to God. The world structure which is in direct opposition to God. What are we trying to say today? The world's plans, the world's purposes, the world's people are in direct contrast to those of God. Completely contrast. Let's look at some Bible facts about the world. Number one, that is what we call the world, the evil world system. The evil world system. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Galatians 1, 4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Present evil world. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, look at what it says in verse 12. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So there is a present world system. That world system that is without God. And there is so much deception in this world now that can even ensnare believer to be part of it. But this present evil world system is already judged by God. Number two, the Bible talks about elements of the world. In Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 3. Galatians 4:3, the elements of the world. Galatians 4:3 says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. What do we mean by elements of the world? We mean the elementary principles that govern the world. All these worldly principles lead to spiritual bondage. Spiritual bondage. And this is where we have to be very careful, beloved, so that we can know where we are and what we are supposed to be doing, so that we will do what God wants us to do. The Bible tells us about the rudiments of this world. You read that in Galatians 2 to save our time. Rudiments of this world. These are the regulations on which the world structure is resting. These are different from the principles and structures of the kingdom of God. The Bible talks, number 4, about the spirit of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. The Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So there is something known as the spirit of the world. That spirit is in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit. Direct opposition to the Holy Spirit. Number 5, the Bible talks about the philosophy of the world. The philosophy of the world, which is completely contrary to the things of God. Again, you can read that in Galatians 2 when you have time. Philosophies, they are principles of knowledge that is not based on Christ. Philosophy of the world. Number 6, the Bible talks about the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this present world. In 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, it taketh the wise in their own craftiness. that is a wisdom of this world. Number seven, the Bible talks about the cause of this world. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the cause of the world. Ephesians 2, 2. So, wherein in time past, ye walk according to the cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's Ephesians 2, 2. The cause of this world is a cycle of the present world. Its routine, its operation, the way it moves, that's what we call the curse of this world. Number eight, that is what the Bible calls the voices of this world. The voices of this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10, voices of this world. 1 Corinthians 14, 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. So there are many voices in the world that are contrary to the voice of God. The voices that speak directly opposite to the word of God. There are plenty of them on earth. I pray that you will not listen to the voice of your enemy. While in your shoes, my amen will be loud and clear. Number nine. The Bible talks about the peace of this world. In John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of this world is temporary, fragile, and sometimes very, very deceptive. The peace of this world is the peace that is masquerading. They'll be saying, peace, 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 when really there is no peace. The tenth thing is this. The Bible talks about the sorrow of this world. The sorrow of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at it, verse 10. There are two kinds of sorrow in the Bible. There is godly sorrow. That is the sorrow of this world. I pray that the sorrow of this world will not be your lot in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance of salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world, what does it work? Death. It worketh death. You can have sorrow God's way, sorrow the world's way. Sorrow the world's way brings death. 11. The Bible talks about the attitude of this world. Attitude of this world. When we talk about attitude of this world, you read what is written in James chapter 4 verse 4. James chapter 4 verse 4. So ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is what? You are the enemy of God. The world hates God. The world hates believers. So if you now love the world, you have one problem. The love of the Father is not in you. If the people of the world now love you, you have only one problem. You don't love the Father. Because when you begin to love God the way you should love God, a lot of people will find you difficult to cope with. Those who used to come to your house and say, bring out the bottle of beer, and you bring out ice water, they won't be your friends again. Those who used to drag you from one party to the other in Lagos and say, sorry, I can't go again, they won't be your friends anymore. Because your pattern has now changed. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For whosoever loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I feel sorry for you if you are in this service this morning and you still go to these worldly parties. I feel sorry for you if you are here this morning and you claim to be a Christian, a child of God, but any time they have one ceremony to do, you are the first at the front, you are at the forefront of it, dancing away in darkness. I feel sorry for you if you are in this place today and then you find that you are still dressing in a vain manner. You are dressing to please the world system, which is about to be destroyed. The Bible says, everything we are putting together here, So they are raw materials for fire. So when somebody is running about raw materials for fire, gathering raw materials for fire, instead of getting heaven into your spirit, then it's very sad. Point number 12. The Bible talks about the fashion of this world. The fashion of this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, the fashion of this world. 1 Corinthians 7, 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, but the fashion of this world is there, it's passing away. It will go away. Passing away. It will go. And as we begin to study the history of man, one style goes, another one comes. One fashion comes in, another fashion goes out. You cannot base your life on the fashion of this world because it is passing away.
This message continues on side B of this cassette.
We were very young. The kind of trousers that were considered fashionable at that time, you have to get your junior brother or junior sister to pull it into your waist. And when you're about to pull it off, the same style. After some time, they got away from that kind of trousers. Now it becomes a JB trousers. Large mouth that clears the ground as you go. Now they do the roundabout turn to the traditional trousers again. This is the fashion of the world. If you're a black woman, if God wanted your hair to be like the hair of a white woman, you would do it like that from your mother's womb. But if he doesn't do it like that, and you are trying to readjust it, you are copying the fashion of the world. And you open your head for all kinds of attacks. In fact, to be quite honest with you, sisters, the way the world is going now, you better go and learn how to do your hair by yourself, by sitting before a mirror and doing it on your own. The way the forces of wickedness are being released now. The world is made up of flesh-centered individuals who hate believers and who design its fashions. You see, your garment tells a lot about you. Whatever you put on tells the kind of person you are. If you decide to wear clothes that exposes your body, it shows that you are advertising something. All this fashion, they are passing away. They are passing away. And when a lady eventually dies, unfortunately, they won't wear your miniskirt for you in the coffin. They put a respectable gown on the body. But it will be too late at that time. How do we overcome the world structure? Number one, if you don't want to be overwhelmed by the strategies and the principles of this world, number one, recognize that you are not of this world. Can you say that and let me hear you? Say, I am not of this world. That's the first thing to recognize. You are not of this world. According to what Jesus said in John chapter 17, John chapter 17 verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So recognize that you don't belong to this system. You are a sojourner here. You are a traveler. You are just passing through. First of all, recognize that. Number two strategy for you to overcome the world is to know that in this world, you will experience tribulation. Know that one for sure. That's what the Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Know that you will experience tribulation in this world. The third strategy is to realize that gaining the world is not worth losing your soul. It's not worth it at all. Gaining the world is not worth losing your soul. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? It is bad business to gain the world and lose your soul. The first strategy is this: if you want to overcome the world, know for sure that if you love the world, you are an enemy of God. We've read that in James chapter 4, verse 4. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Know for sure that if you love the world, you are an enemy of God. When you are seeking for the world's approval, the world's signature, the world's praise, You are an enemy of God. Fifth strategy. Recognize that the world is temporal in nature. Very temporal in nature. Very, very soon, a trumpet shall sound, and everything that men have been running about for, they find that it's not really worth it. Because this world is passing away. 2 Peter 3:11 tells us. 2 Peter 3:11. It says this. 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So it's temporal in nature. It will go away. What we are telling you in a nutshell, that you should recognize that you don't have to be in bondage to this world. You no longer need to be conformed to it. You are now part of a new kingdom. So they don't dictate your life for you, your principles for you. One thing that has destroyed so many people in this Lagos, that is how they do it. That is how they do it. That is how they do it. So that is how they do it. You borrowed money and printed invitation cards for wedding. That's how they do it. You borrowed money and printed pamphlets for wedding. That's how they do it. You borrowed money and hired video camera for wedding. That's how they do it. Borrowed money and bought rice, beans, meat on credit for wedding. That's how they do it. You don't have a bicycle. You don't have a car. You went and borrowed a Mercedes Benz from an unbeliever for wedding. Now, after the wedding, debtors are running after you. Because of that is how they do it. There is no book where they wrote that you cannot do your wedding in a shirt and a trouser. There is no way where it is written that you cannot come to a wedding ceremony on the back of an Okada. There is no book where it is written that you cannot even walk to church on the wedding day. There is no book where it is written that you have to wear a gown that is flown on the floor and sweeping the whole place. There is no book where it is written that you cannot buy Ankara and wear it on your wedding day. But people go into all kinds of trouble to cause trouble for themselves. Praise the Lord. When I did my own wedding, I only invited 9 people. But I don't know where the rest of them had, and they came. I did not cook one grain of rice for anybody. But they cooked their own rice and brought it. They served themselves. They refused to serve me because they say I didn't cook anything. But I didn't mind because since I didn't cook it. Amen. But if I wanted to put myself in bondage, Mama Suraju, give me a bag of rice, credit. This, give me a bottle of minerals, credit. Then after the wedding, they are knocking your door in the morning, bring that money, or come and pay, come and pay. What we're saying is this, you must guard your life against this world. And don't pattern your life after their principles. Don't love this present world. And then number 6, you must deny worldly lusts. Deny worldly lusts. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 12. Titus 2:12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Don't get involved in this worldly lust system. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Then the 7th thing you should do, crucify the power of the world. Crucify it. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians 6:14 says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Crucifixion is an unnatural death. So, like the flesh, the power of the world in your life will not die a natural death. You must forcibly crucify it. Forcibly crucify it. If you have a friend that this friend does not help towards your holiness, ask the friend to go away. Tell the friend to go away. Because it will pull down your life. And this is a very serious matter. And then the last point is this. You must know your mission in this world. You must know it. You are not to be affected by the world, but you are to affect the world. You are to be a light in this world of darkness. You are to reflect the glory of God and witness for God. Those early Christians, their impact on the world was so great that it was said of them, these men have turned the world upside down. That's what they said. As soldiers in the army sent on a mission in a foreign land, believers are on a special mission in this world, and we have been given a mandate. Go ye into all the world and make disciples of me. He didn't say, go ye into all the world and allow them to transform you and change you from what you are to what they are. A single Christian in a whole company can make a difference. One brother, one day, he got to work, and police just came into their company, and they began to arrest people. The police was being conducted around the company by their managing director. When they got to Brajong's place, and the police said, how about this man? The managing director said, no, sir. He does not even understand how they did the fraud. He said, I'm ready to bet my life for this one, sir. This one is not part of them. It took them 10 minutes to explain to the brother how they stole the money. He didn't understand it. Whereas in some places, it is the so-called Christian who will first of all begin to steal. He will be the first who will teach them how to defraud, because it's running a rat race. It's looking for money that it does not need. Unfortunately, most of those who abandon the things of God and say money, 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 they never get the money. They get into more and more bondage. Bow down your heads, beloved, and begin to decree that every power of the world in your destiny must die. That every power of the world in your destiny must die. And that the world will not have a controlling light over your destiny anymore. Talk to the Lord yourself. Amen. Rise up on your feet, beloved. Satan went to Jesus and said, bow down, worship me. I'll give you the glories of the world. They are mine. I'll give them to you. He wanted to trap Jesus with the power of the world, but Jesus refused. You will shout this loud and clear. You cage of the world, you cannot hold my life. Break away in the name of Jesus. Command the cage to be broken. Tell the Lord, I refuse that this world will transform into a system. In Jesus' name we pray. One man sang a song. He said, if this world harms you with a hook and all these evil treasures they use to deceive you, so now you need to take those, your burden, to the Lord and drop it there. Any area of our lives that has been hooked by the world will be a source of constant attacks. So it's those hooks we want to pray against now. Beloved, the truth is that many of us have been hooked. You will say this with violence. Hooks of darkness, release my life. In the name of Jesus, be released from the hooks. In the name of Jesus. Hooks of the world, release my life. In the name of Jesus. Maraposale katenda kaya boshende. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Now begin to talk to the Lord. That, Father, any area in which the world has captured me, let me be released now. Set me free from their bondage. Set me free from their hooks. Set me free from their power. Set me free. Set. Amen. Lord, we come to you now. We know that this present world system has set away, and we don't want to be swept away in the waves thereof. Therefore, we come to you this day, and we command every idol of the world in our hearts, the cages of the world surrounding our lives, let them be broken off in the name of Jesus. And in any area where we have opened our lives to attacks, let there be a barricading power of the Holy Ghost upon our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray. Now lay your right hand on your own head and declare like this. I take divine insurance over my life and my family in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to declare that one. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your children here. It is written that they to the hills will raise up their head. From that comes their help. The help comes from the Lord who made heavens and earth. Will not suffer their feet to be moved. For he that keepeth them shall not slumber. That keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord shall keep their going and their coming out. The Lord shall keep them in all their ways. No evil shall befall them, neither shall any plague move near their camp. As you go, it shall be well with you. No weapon formed against your safety shall prosper. I cover you and your household with the blood of Jesus. At this hour, Lord, as many families are going through a dark hour, we pray that the consoling oil of the Holy Spirit will be poured in their hearts. We decree by the decree of heavens that every agenda of darkness for this nation is buried now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let us share the grace in fellowship.